Welcome to the Fully Expressed Podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed Community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode.
Welcome to a new episode on the Fully Expressed Podcast this week. We're so excited to have you. Today we get to have a little solo episode between the two of us. So you're going to hear us talk today.
Yeah, and we thought about what topic we really wanted to talk about. And something that's been coming up for both of us is body image, which Karenna has spoken about before on the podcast.
But we're going to be talking about it from a different lens. And so just so you, if you're listening to this, and I just want to say we're going to be very delicate and very understanding, but also this could be maybe a little triggering for you. And what we're hoping to give you insight into really our process with this journey. I know I've openly spoken about my eating disorder, my body image dysmorphia, and just not having a really good relationship with my body and food. And it's been quite the journey of healing that. And I know Sam hasn't really openly talked about this on the podcast, but Sam, do you want to share with them a little bit about your journey and what that has looked like for you?
Yeah, I think we've bonded before on having very similar stories when it comes to the relationship with our body. Definitely also experienced an eating disorder, bulimia, and just overall, honestly, until my, I'd say, mid to late 20s, did not have a healthy relationship with food. Was taught to use food as an emotional tool. You know, when I didn't feel well, it was like, oh, you're sad? Like, let's bake cookies and let's not just eat one. Let's eat all 12 of them. So it has been a long journey for me too. And I know we're going to dive into how it's showing up in different ways now, more nuanced maybe. But for me, I would say that really learning to be intuitive with eating and to learn how to just love my body and honor it for being, you know, this vessel that carries me every single day has been a huge part of the healing journey. But I think I've had, yes, many experiences very similar to yours in terms of my relationship with food.
Totally. And I think something that you and I have in common that we've talked about is that a lot of our, I want to say, like, yes, I think there were definitely people in my life that shared an interesting like they also struggled with their own unhealthy relationship with food that was projected onto me. But I think the catalyst to all this stuff has been social media, where, you know, especially like in high school or in college, you know, the idea of wanting to look a certain way, I think, is the main crutch of mine. I mean, yes, I also use it as emotional eating. I also had bulimia. How did that work? I don't know. what I've learned throughout like my certification, that bulimia was just a way of me being able to express emotions, like almost trying to get a release of what I was experiencing internally. So it's been this interesting dance between like, yes, I experience body image issues or dysmorphia or having an unhealthy relationship with my body and with food, and because of social media, because of you're supposed to eat this way, you're supposed to look this way, this is what guys want, this is what it looks attractive, or this is what's cute, this is what's sellable. There's so many stories behind the scene that are constantly observing with social media. So I think early on for me, it was like coming from a place of wanting to be perfect, also coming from a place of wanting to be accepted and wanting to be wanted. And I thought that if I changed my body, or if I looked, my body looked like these other women, that I would essentially be more desirable, if you will, whether that was by men or by women. It was just being accepted even in just groups. Like, it wasn't just one or the other. But yeah, social media for me was like a huge part to that puzzle, even though there was also this emotional aspect of it as well. Like, when I've been experiencing, when I was experiencing like very heavy seasons, or not expressing my emotions, trying to control my emotions, not showing my emotions, not expressing my emotions, then I would see them come out in the same way that you mentioned, which is like eating a shit ton of food and then throwing up. Like, that was definitely a part of my process.
Yeah, same. I think too, it's interesting because when I think back, so for me, I didn't really have bulimia until I was like in my early 20s. In high school, I definitely had 100% body dysmorphia. I just like didn't think about that as an option, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, not laughing, it's not a laughing matter, but I laugh at just like my thought process of the time. But I think that for me in high school, it was more looking at the girls that I perceived as thin or as the body that I wanted. And that was my only comparison. And then in my 20s was when social media, like Instagram specifically, really exploded. And all of a sudden you're seeing models and you're seeing, all, you know, I mean, the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I remember watching that and thinking like, I just want to look like them. And now it's so interesting being older, looking back or even, you know, reflecting, you know, it just came back this year. They did it again for the first time in a long time. And a lot of videos resurfaced around their routines of how they maintain their bodies. And they're so unhealthy, obviously, you know, like they're not eating for several days before the event. And just probably even hearing that at the time and thinking, oh, okay, that's what I have to do. Yeah, I think it was a lot of comparison. But the deeper part was definitely the emotional release, feeling so much discomfort in myself around my image and how I felt about myself and feeling like that was the only way. If it felt so energetically
healing.
It was like weird.
Releasing.
Yeah, releasing.
It was weird. Yeah, I did the same thing. Yeah.
And I think too, because we've both experienced repressed feelings and emotions, that was like the one way that I could express myself fully, even though it was extremely not the healthy way to do it. I had no awareness of why I was even doing it for so long.
Mm-hmm. I used to think of it as like, we don't have to go on this whole spiral, but like I used to think of it as like, I would just lose control. Like it was almost like blacking out. Like my whole system was just taking action and just doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so interesting at that time to like go there. And so like that really, once I got to a place, I think in 2019 was when I first hired my first intuitive eating coach, Tyler Rowling, which she's still a friend of mine and super deep to mine. But I just had it. Like I think there was this part of me that I was like, there has to be another way to live. Like I'm tired of restricting myself. I'm exhausted of thinking about how much I've worked out today. I am just fucking done. Like there needs to be another way. And I think that was just God speaking to me of like, there is another way. Mm-hmm. And what I remember, she really taught me how to eat intuitively. And it was just wild. Like the repair that I had to go through, the level of self-trust that I had to learn within myself, that I knew how much I wanted to eat and what was good for me versus like working through all the different diets, all the different rules, everything that you saw on social media, what was supposed to be as you should eat. And yeah, it was such a dance and it took some time, but I had to get comfortable with eating with what my body wanted. Because on the other side of that, I also experienced like, because I was restricting myself so much, my body was so malnourished that like I also needed to eat way more because my body has basically been starving for the last 5, 8, 10 years, whatever long it was, before I got to this stage in 2019 where I was like, I really want to change the way I was doing, because I was counting macros. Mm-hmm. I was doing everything you could to restrict yourself. And I was like, just always trying to be in a calorie deficit because I heard calorie deficit means I'm going to lose weight, which is a whole thing in itself. So you can just imagine like the internal trust that I had to learn within myself again to be able to say, oh, I know what a hunger cue is. Like I didn't even know what a hunger cue is because I was constantly being like, nope, you should stop eating by now. Or you've eaten too much. Mm-hmm. Or you've had too many carbs or whatever. And then it came to like, oh, well, you haven't eaten enough protein, whatever that was. So that's just what a little bit of what mine was like.
Yeah, it's interesting because for me, I remember specifically a moment where I thought, I will never, like, what would it feel like to have a healthy relationship with food? And I kind of had just accepted that I never would because, I mean, I was raised, like, on TV dinners and eating, I would say, majority of meals, of dinner meals, except for maybe the weekends, were eating in front of the TV. like at my grandma's house. And so there was no connection. Of course, I didn't know what full felt like or nourishment felt like. We ate fast food every single day after school, which is probably why I'm so adverse to it now, because I've eaten enough of it for a lifetime. And it was actually when I met Austin, my husband, who we've had on the show, but when I met him and he finally created a container for me to feel safe and was also like, you don't need to do that. You know, like there are other ways to talk. I think just talking, like being seen, all of me, and having a place to release those emotions. And then that coupled with, it's funny, I remember being on set at a job that I was, when I was working in the film industry, and making a comment about losing weight being hard. And one of the guys was like, losing weight's easy. Like, what are you talking about? You know? And I don't know if it was just in the moment or the way he said it, but something in my brain clicked. And I came home and I told Austin about it. And he's like, well, it seems like you've been trying to lose weight for so long. Like, it had probably been 5 or 6 years when I really wasn't doing what I needed to do. You know, I was engaging in this negative sort of behavior and this patterning. And he just said, you know, I think you just need to try something different. And so I started. For me, I used reprogramming and I started saying, I love my body. Losing weight is easy. I let go. I eat intuitively. And I would repeat them consistently every single day for months and months. And that is when I started shifting, like what I was eating, how I was eating, and started really. One thing, I bless Austin for this, is he would never let us eat in front of the TV ever. Like, he was just like, we're not eating in front of any TV. We're eating together. We're enjoying our meal. And that really shifted everything for me, because especially I was alone. I was single for quite a while before I met him. And it was so easy to just, I mean, I didn't want to eat alone at a table in the quiet. It was way too quiet. So I would eat in front of the TV. So it was kind of the same patterning that I had been living. And he really helped me repattern that. And yeah, now I can actually say I have a pretty solid relationship with food, which is amazing. I never thought I'd get there.
I know. But what's interesting, and I think that brings us to the crutch of this episode, what we want to talk about, is because even though we've stepped into having this like really healthy relationship with food, or having a healthy relationship with my body, like I can honestly say, like, I feel really confident in my body in the bedroom. I feel very confident in my body being naked around other people, like, which I've shared around the podcast. Like, there is, I feel good in my body. Like, I'm not constantly, like, I remember like little Karenna, or like old Karenna, was like constantly comparing like my thigh and how it looks like in addition to something else, like in comparison to something else in the moment, or constantly thinking about like, does my arm look fat? Like, does it look fat next to this thing? And it's like so dumb.
Or like, can you take the picture? And you're like, oh my God.
Or like every photo that I ever took was like, I was so judgmental about myself and like picking myself apart.
Do you ever look back on photos and just think, wow, I was so beautiful, so skinny, so whatever, and I can't believe I thought I was.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, that's why. I mean, the part that makes me sad is like, now I get really sad because the parts where I was like super small, I mean, I was very small, like the smallest I've ever been. I look back at those photos and I was like, how did I ever think that I was fat?
You know what's really sad? My ex, bless his heart, we broke up for a summer. We used to break up and get back together all the time. And I remember I had not eaten that whole summer. I spent majority of the summer in bed crying. I was so heartbroken. It was like the first big time we had ever broken up. I was the skinniest I'd ever been. I was probably like a size like 4'2", whatever. And he was like, wow, this is the best you've ever looked.
Well, fuck him.
Like, it was like, I think back. And in that moment, I was just like, thank you so much. And I look back and I thought, my God, Samantha, come on. But yeah, those are the moments where you're just, it's so crazy. But anyways, looking back on
it. No, but like, it's what? Wild. But that, I mean, that just like talks to so much about also the other fucked up part of it, right? Like, now we've attracted men that like, literally, I could be looking like the ugliest bum in the world. And he's like, I want to have so much sex with you. Like, I love you so much. Like, he's like, damn, I would go down on you right now. Like, things like that. And I'm just like, huh? Like, at the beginning, I'm like, wait, what, honey? Like, I was like, and it was so nice to receive. But also, I think men play a part of this as well. And I'm not trying to be like rude, but men are also attracted to a specific image, and they're putting that onto women, and they're saying like, oh, you should lose the 20 pounds. Or like, oh, when I married you, you were smaller.
Austin loves to lay with me. Why are you insecure? I loved you when you were 50 pounds heavier. Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
And I always look back at Nick when he first and I first started dating, like I had so much inflammation in my face because I was, I mean, healing from hormones and things like that. I'm like, same. Wow, honey, you loved me. I was like, he's like,
we had a glow. Okay.
We did have a glow up, but it's like a healthy glow up. Yeah. I like think about. But what I was saying, you know, that I think we really want to talk to you is like, even though we've eat intuitively, we trust our bodies to do what they're meant to be. We trust that they're strong. Something that I've been personally navigating recently has been stepping into wanting to make my body strong and also wanting to meet my edge. And what I've realized that I've been doing because I've been really comfortable accepting and loving my body as it is, that I have avoided my edge and wanting to potentially change it. And there was this moment about maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. It was the weekend before my period. I was so hormonal. I mean, Nick literally looked at me. He's like, are you depressed? And I was like, you've never said that to me before.
Yeah.
And then I was talking so negatively about my body. And he was like, you really haven't talked so negatively about your body like this in a long time. And I was like, it's just really. And he was just talking to himself while I'm like listening. And he's like washing the dishes. And he's like, it just really gives me insight into where you're really at, like what mind space you're in or where your mental health is or your mind, like what space you're in. And I was like, I just stood quiet and it like triggered the fuck out of me because I was like, oh shit, he's right. Like I am picking myself apart right now and I am getting mad at myself for certain things. And I was like, so sad because I was like, I haven't been like this in a long time and I get emotional. Because I haven't felt that way about myself in a long time. And I was just like, what is wrong? And I got so triggered. And he's like, do you want to talk about it? And I was like, no. And I was like, never not want to talk about it. But I did not want to talk about it because I was like processing. Like, I haven't felt this way about my body in years. And I felt really sad as to like, why do I feel this way?
Where is it coming from?
Like, where is it coming from? And what I realized, and I eventually ended up telling him in the morning, I was like, you know, honey, like what's really coming up for me is like, I realized that we've been going to the gym more. We've been talking more about like me wanting to work on my health in a specific way. And I have so much fear and resistance to restriction and to working out hard in the gym. And I think because I relate those two things to wanting to pick myself apart. And as I was expressing this to him, I was telling him, you know, it's very difficult. Like when you go to the gym and you know that so many people in there are looking at themselves in the mirror, trying to see if their butt grew or if they've gotten smaller. And I've just completely taken myself out of that because I did not feel safe in that and I didn't have the capacity to be in that. And now I'm trying to create the capacity to be in that while still trying to, you know, get stronger, right? Get leaner, get healthier. Restrict myself a little bit when it comes to food or like eating a certain way because I want to work on something specifically while also keeping my balance. And I think I met my edge because we were so consistent with going to the gym that I was like so scared that I was going to fall back into it. And I didn't know. I think I'm still in the process of figuring out what that actually looks like to show up and be like, I have a healthy relationship with food.
Yeah.
I have a healthy relationship with my body. I love my body. And God tells me that I can have everything.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't I have the body that feels healthy, strong, fit in the way that I want?
Yeah. And I think when you've gone through the things we've gone through or dealt with body dysmorphia, any of that, there's always going to be the fear that what if this comes back or what if this triggers something and I also think that I don't care who you are or if you've had an eating issue or not. I mean, all of us as women are subjected to scrutiny and a certain standard of beauty in any capacity. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, what, you know, age you are. I think it's impossible to escape it in the Western world, at least. And I think that that's always going to be playing in the background, even if you love your body, even if you have a healthy relationship with it, because that you feel good. You're like, I feel good. I feel strong today. And then you go on Instagram and you're like, oh, hello. That's a nice bum. That's not what my bum looks like or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that just to speak into that is like, I think that that's always going to be operating underneath and the gym just magnifies that perception or that persona. So yeah, I think that's a valid fear. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, what does it look like if you lean into that and you do become healthy and you do get that body and you do, you know, restrict in a healthy way, in a way that's serving your betterment mm-hmm. versus like trying to be a size four.
Totally. And that's like, to your point, like I also want to like reframe a little bit about restriction. So when I talk about restricting, like I'm not necessarily saying
it's not about calories or
calories yeah. or anything like that. So, you know, my partner is a holistic health practitioner. He lives on a fucking program. He's so structured. And
you should check out this episode 59. It was really good.
It's really good. It basically blew up, I think. Yeah. It was really cool.
It's amazing.
But anyways, like, you know, we're really in this place of preparing my body in a different way. And so, like, I'm not trying to say restricting. I'm trying to say, like, even, like, programs. Like, and I'm trying to find freedom in that versus before I did it from a way of controlling mm-hmm. what I ate, mm-hmm. which this purpose is not. It's more of like, okay, if I have a program and I have something to follow, like I'll eat that. Because mm-hmm. I do think like with food, like I've gotten to a place where I'm so lax about everything. It's just making sure that I'm eating specific foods so my body's getting the specific nutrient. And that in itself feels restricting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not meant to be restricting.
Yeah.
It's because my fear of being restricting is making it feel like it's restricting. But if anything, it's giving me more. It's just learning to get over that hump now because I've basically been like on the other end. And I'm like, okay, now I have to try and find
the balance.
The balance point.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I wanted to mention too that like really threw me off, like I had voice noted a friend because she had asked me how I was doing. And I was like, I'm really not doing well. And she was like, you know, I've gone to this place where like, if I want to look good, I want to look good and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And when she said that, I was like so taken back. I'm like, I could hear the voice in my head of saying like, no, I'm not allowed to look good because looking good is bad mm-hmm. or wanting to look good is bad. Like mm-hmm. I had this narrative of like wanting to look good is bad because I work so hard to like love myself as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's like the fear of like maybe you have to change yourself to then love yourself.
Yes, exactly. And I don't want to play into the fear of I'm trying to change myself. You know, yeah. I want to play into that. And that's where I was getting caught up in like this like internal dialogue of like I spent so many years trying to change myself and I didn't love myself. What is it? You know, I think we're trying to define like what does it look like to love yourself in a way that changes you.
But that's already what I think you're speaking to, reframing that it's really about going to the gym because you want to be strong and you want to mm-hmm. you want to reflect that strength and you want to feel good and vibrant in your body. And I just think that if we take out aesthetics, okay, like naturally we are not meant to be big people. Like we aren't meant to carry lots of fat on our bodies. And maybe if you live in Alaska or somewhere, like that would make a little more sense. But I feel like I think that it, maybe it's less about the number and more about if your focus is I want to feel vibrant, I want to feel strong, you'll naturally, your body will morph to fit that and you will look good,
mm-hmm.
I think. Instead of, I think it's so easy for all of us as women to get caught up in, I want to be a size four or a size two, or I want this inch waist, or I want this size bum or whatever, instead of just being like, how can I show up and feel the best in my body?
Totally. And that's where I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Like I'm in that season right now where I'm like, oh, I love my body as is. And now I want to make it strong, or now I want to lean out, or now I want these things, and making myself okay for wanting those things. But it's, again, not coming from a place of I want other people to accept me.
Yeah.
Because I feel as accepted as I am.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Did yeah. that come up for you at all?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, we've spoken a little about this, but for me, I feel strong already. And sometimes yeah. I feel like the outside doesn't reflect the inside. I mean, I know my issue is probably more stress. I carry stress well, but not well, because nobody carries stress well. And so I feel like that plays a big role in my moods and how I feel about my body. I think for me, I also have that relationship with restriction or putting, I'm always afraid that like I'll step one step too far and then it will send
exactly.
me back to where I was. And I worked so hard not to get there, but I too want to look good. So I'm not saying I don't feel I look good, but I would love to see my body in one other iteration, like one new iteration different. And that's more just for myself, like when, how I want to feel, I just want to feel like toned. And, but I also had to accept kind of like how you're speaking to that. Maybe I started, especially like a month ago when this was really coming up for me. And I think too, you know, as you age as a woman and it's so easy to fall into like, I don't want wrinkles. I don't want to look old. I don't want to look this way. But I think for me, actually, my biggest thing is, you know, we're heading into a season of wanting to become mothers. And I really want to feel so solid in my body, one, to carry a healthy baby because I am older than, you know, the normal age of having a baby. And also, I just want to feel a really strong sense of a love for my body and how strong it is and how capable it is before I then go and expand it. Physically and emotionally and mentally. Yeah. So for me, what I was going to just say is like looking at little things where like I love to bake and being honest with myself, like, yeah, maybe if I'm eating cookies at 8 o'clock at night, I'm not shaming myself for eating the cookies, but like if I really want to have a toned body, that might not be an every night occurrence. Maybe I should just have it like once a week. Or so those are kind of the concessions I'm trying to make without getting into that super restrictive space, but also being honest. Like I think I've told you before, I was drinking a lot of like Olipops and sodas. And when you're trying to actually like slim down and you're already, I would consider myself slim to begin with. It's like those little things I think can make a difference in just the way you're processing them. Like we talk about glucose and eating certain things, you know, to slow the glucose down and protein and things like that. And I think, you know, it all plays a role in. So I think being honest with myself, but also not, you know, at that line where you're like, okay, I'm going to go real extreme on this. I will always love food and love eating. And if it requires me like restricting where I can't enjoy my meals, then I probably won't ever be the shape that I want to be.
And I think that's the balance that you and I are trying to figure out, because I think we have this history. You know, we know what it looks like to step too far. And I'm like, I don't want to step too far.
Yeah.
I got lost in stepping too far. And I think there's this interpersonal journey that we are going through in this moment of like in this part of this journey of really learning how to be our fullest expressed selves through our bodies,
mm-hmm.
right? Like confident in our bodies, stepping into our bodies, loving our bodies, mm-hmm. feeling strong in our bodies. But there's this dance where we now have to work with the other parts that are going to be like, no, Sam, don't go there too much. Or like, Krenna, you should probably not restrict too much because we've been down this route that's so scary.
The part that's scariest for me too is the obsession that comes with it, because it consumed so much of my world. And I feel like when I was able to have a healthy relationship with my body and food, like the whole world opened to me. And I don't know if you feel the same.
Oh my gosh, same. And it felt like freedom.
Yeah.
And it still feels like freedom. And so like I guess that's the biggest thing that we're talking about is like as we're stepping into like really preparing our bodies for motherhood in a lot of ways, like same, like trying to get strong, trying to be healthy. There's things, certain protocols that we can follow to make us feel a certain way or to prepare our bodies. But it's really the fear that we're coming up against because we don't want to feel what it feels like to not be free.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have literally, you know, when you do get to this place where you are so in love with your body and you have a good, healthy relationship with food, it feels like you can live again.
True.
Versus before, like the obsession that you're talking about, it
consumes everything.
So fucking consuming that you're constantly running analytics in your brain or data's running, filtering through one thing. Like I should be eating this, but if I eat this, I got to do this. And if I do this, I got to do that. Blah, 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 blah. And it's just, it's not fun to live in a mind like that.
You miss out on so much. I look back and I'm like, wow, how often was I not even present? Like I missed out on so much.
I think I love that you said that because it's so true. The space that we've stepped into most days, almost every day, feeling free to just be and not worry about your body image is just 1,000 pounds lighter. Energetically, like you can just feel the weight come off your shoulders.
So
you're like, I could take a fucking breath. This is so nice.
Yeah. And I feel like even in the moments where I'm like, oh, this wrinkle or this belly or whatever the thought may be, delusional or not or true, I think it lasts like a moment or maybe a day if we're really having a rough time versus weeks and months and years, you know? So it's like, I also give myself grace because I'm like, I'm still a woman and I'm still, you know, you can't not compare yourself. It's so hard not to. It doesn't matter. We have some of the most beautiful friends that are skinny mini and so fit. And I was like, if I could be as disciplined as you. And they are insecure, you know? So it's like, we all feel this. We're all subjected to it. There's always something that each of us wants to change. And I think it is like when you can find that freedom, when you can allow yourself to just accept, like, even if you want to lose weight, or you're not feeling enough, or, you know, you don't feel pretty enough, or you're not conventionally beautiful, or whatever. I think that we all feel this way. And I think when you can find your way to that freedom, to that inner peace, to that presence, you realize, like, I think also, like, the mindset shift of this is a vessel that literally carries us every day. It breathes. Our bodies breathe without us thinking. Our heart beats, you know, all day long to keep us alive. Like, it is sometimes when I'm really feeling low, I actually go and watch some of those, like, videos, the microscopic videos that show what our white blood cells are doing or our mitochondria are doing.
That's,
you're like,
cool.
Oh, it's so cool. I'll send you some. Okay. And you'll just be like, holy shit, our bodies are insane. Why am I hating myself? Like, why? I mean, I think that it's, life's too short. Like, this one video I watched of these, what the white blood cell does, you know, you, like, takes, obviously we all went to school and we learn about biology, but you don't think about it. And then when you see this, it's literally this round, you know, odd, like, oval shaped cell, and it's going in, it's like, hey you, how you doing? And he's like pushing all the red blood cells and he's touching them all and he's like, you've been drinking tonight, you doing this, like, how you feeling, how you doing, how anything going on? And it's like, that's literally what it looks like in this thing. It's amazing. And you're just, I don't know, it just brings you back to, like, wow, our bodies are so incredible. Mm-hmm. And why would we ever want to punish them? Why would we ever want to make them feel like they're not good enough because you have an extra roll of fat, or you have, you know, an eyebrow that's higher than the other one, or whatever, you know? And I think that the more we can come back to that, the more we can find that freedom.
Yeah, I love that you said that. It's so true. We are, this body is literally carrying us every single day. And that's what's magnificent about it. I think living with Nick, he tells me so much about the body. I'm like, it does that? Your eyeballs do that? He's like, he was telling me, now he puts me to, I'm not gonna go down the spiral, but Nick at night before bed, I'm like with my eye mask and I'm like, babe, what did you learn today? And he's like teaching me all these facts. And he was telling me, he's like, your brain is not, your eyes are a part of your brain. And he's like, they're a part of your brain. They're not separate from your brain. They're a part of your brain.
Wait, but if I'm blind, does that mean there's something wrong with my brain? I have to ask him.
You can ask him. He was actually telling me that he has been considering, he told me, he's like, I think I might be able to do this. I think he can fix his eyesight with lights.
I actually just saw someone talk about that. And they also said, not tallow. What's the oil that everyone's been talking about? You, like, put it for hair growth, and not argan oil, but...
Castor oil?
Yes.
In your eyes?
Yeah. And that's like improving their eyesight.
Yeah, there's specific things that you can do. Yeah. Nick's been like thinking about light exposure. Apparently there's someone that using different colors of light, because your eyes are the things that absorb light. Like I was telling you today, like our contacts are blocking your eyesight.
Yeah.
Are blocking the good light from coming in. You could talk to him about it. But he, because Nick is also blind.
As am I. I might be blinder than him, though, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I think so. I mean, your glasses are so thick compared to his.
I'm like Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Literally, like, she has, like, a mountain on her eye.
I mean, it's sad, but true.
The thickest shade I've ever seen.
I've worn contacts in second grade.
All right.
Anyways, we digress.
We digress. But anyways, like, you know, our bodies are so beautiful. And that's where, like, I'm really stepping into is, like, this next evolution of my body is coming to a place of, like, I want to be healthier. I want to be stronger. I want to be resilient, especially with my underlying, like, health conditions. And so even the idea of dabbling in those things, it's brought up a lot of fear, which I think is what I want to talk about. And what we really want to highlight today is, like, let's say you've been on this journey of healing your relationship with your body, or maybe you're on the other side where you feel really good and you've been avoidant of restrictions, avoidant of diets, avoidant of working with someone because you want to better your health because of the fear that potentially goes on. And we want to highlight that because I think it's a part of the journey. And when I come up against that, like, I just get really compassionately curious and just remind myself that these parts of me are coming up because they want to protect me from feeling a certain way. Mm-hmm. And like you and I were just talking, like, these parts of us don't want us to feel obsessed again. These parts of us do not want us to feel like we are drowning in our minds thinking about what we're eating all the time, how much we've worked out and counting calories. And I think we are in the process right now of figuring out what it feels like to go through that and to be on the other side of that.
Totally. I think I would add to that too, that something Austin actually said to me before, and I really agreed upon reflection, is that the weight for me specifically felt very tied to my emotions. And as I lost weight, I felt more vulnerable and I felt more emotional. And I had a lot of releasing, specifically when I was losing like the 50 pounds that I was speaking to earlier. But even now, it's interesting because I have a rash on my arm that I was showing Karina earlier. And you were asking me what I think it's from. And I'm just thinking about what Austin said before, which is every time I've ever leveled up in my life, I break out in this kind of rash. So he always loves to say, like, you're just leveling up. You're just releasing more emotions or more stored energy. And even though it sounds really woo-woo, I actually think there is some truth to that in terms of even sometimes the fear. Even as simple as, you know, women live in an underlying state of fear to a certain extent from men. And I think that also sometimes weight is that protection that we hold against ourselves because we have idealized a standard of women to be like this way, a thin, you know, model, whatever that looks like, a Kim Kardashian or whatever. And when you, I think that weight can also hold a layer of protection of ourselves of like, well, it's like a safety thing almost. Yeah. That would be my one addition, I think, that I think about sometimes is like what's at the deeper root of, and it doesn't even have to be the weight itself, but like what's at the deeper root that is maybe blocking you from allowing yourself to be healthier, more vibrant, stronger, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. When you were saying that, there was this woman that I was thinking about that's an influencer. I should show you to her. She talks. She's like a businesswoman for spiritual people or for spiritual coaches and things like that. I've been following her journey and she lost so much weight working with Joy Wellness, which I'm working with Joy Wellness too. But she's lost a lot of weight to the point where like she had so much skin on her body. And she has been talking so much about the content about how she decided to get like plastic surgery to help get with the skin. And she's been saying it's a spiritual up level.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual awakening. Cool. And she's like, I know there's so many people on here that do not believe that me changing my body or me going to get surgery or plastic surgery is a spiritual awakening. She's like, but I'm so fucking tired of carrying all of my trauma and I've been healing for the last 13 years. It's time to take this weight off. Mm-hmm. And it kind of talks to like what you're talking to, where like our bodies do hold trauma. Mm-hmm. It does, you know, they've said that fat or certain things, like that's your body trying to protect itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to keep it safe. And so I can see how you're talking about the fact that when you did like step into losing weight, you became more seen, more vulnerable, more emotional, because you were getting underneath the layers that have been protecting you for so long.
Yeah. And if I really had to go back, I would say that I was very objectified when I was like 18, 19, 20, because I was very thin and like I did have that idealized body. And I was conventionally attractive, you could say. And I feel like I was then hurt by men. And so I feel like it was my protection. And so then as it came off, because I felt so safe with Austin, it was so vulnerable to be feeling all this stuff come up. And I forget, I want to say her name's Carolyn Mass, but she wrote a book called Molecules of Emotion. She talks about that, like how all of our emotions are like stored in the molecules of our body, which is why probably somatics works so well and fascial release and all these things, because it's literally just stored as energy because we are energy.
Mm-hmm. We definitely are. Well, as we wrap up this episode, I really just want to invite anyone that's listening to this and like, whether you're early on in your journey of like learning how to fall in love with your body, whether you're like deep in the midst of trying to figure out and navigate what that looks like, or maybe you're in a place where similar to us, where you're like, you have really honed in and grounded into the freedom of like loving your body, but you're wanting to step into a new level or a spiritual up level of yourself. And that truly means your body also becoming a reflection of what that looks like.
Yeah.
We're here for you. And I hope this episode tells you that it's an ongoing journey for sure. Yes. And also, like, I just want to remind you guys that every part that comes up for you, like, you're meant to go through the stages. You're meant to go through the phases. Like, if I didn't go through this part of my season of, like, learning to intuitively eat, create this self-trust, create this inner balance, get to a place where I completely avoided diets for my own safety because my body needed to learn what it felt safe in that, you know, maybe you're in the part of that journey and we just wanted to share that we're still in it in a different way.
Yep.
And also give you guys permission that if you are in our place, that it is okay to want to go through the spiritual up level and have your body be a representation of that.
And if you're where we were in our past self, there's light on the other side. Like, you can heal from like disordered eating. You can heal from body dysmorphia, from all of it. Like, you can let it go and be free.
Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to talk more about this, like, please DM us on Instagram. We don't want people to feel alone. I think there's so many of us, men included, not just women and men, that are constantly battling their own internal conversations about their body,
mm-hmm.
and don't probably want to say them out loud because you don't want to admit to the fact that they're happening. But if they are happening, like, you aren't alone. We love you and we see you. And we also just want to invite that you can be your fullest expressed self through every up level that you go through, whatever that looks like. And I truly believe our bodies can match that.
Yeah, definitely.
But that doesn't mean you're not going to run into your own shit along the way.
Also true.
So that, true. Yeah, anything else you want to say?
One thing I actually just wanted to reflect to you really quick, I was thinking about, is that, you know, you're saying you want to go to the gym to feel stronger. And I would say maybe the reframe really is like, look how resilient you are. Look how strong you already are mentally and what you've overcome. So now you just need the outside. You're wanting the outside to match mm-hmm. what's already on the inside.
Damn, you took that from what I just said, didn't you? That's pretty good. Maybe this was a therapy session that I needed.
It was for both of us.
But that is true. And I like that. I do like that.
Yeah. You're already strong.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, you are literally strong.
And on that note, thanks so much for listening.
We love you guys so much. And yeah, let us know what you guys thought about this episode. It was really just us freestyling it, giving you some insight into what's going on in our lives as we continue to step into our fullest express self and our next up level of life.
Yeah. See you on the next one.
All right. Love you guys. Peace.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
See you on the next one.